Church in Gulliver podcast. I am your host, Jedediah, and my co-host,
Newton.
And we are back in the studio to continue our conversation on church hurt, which we had last week. We were discussing just how exactly it looks like in the church when members are hurt, whether by the actions of the church itself, the actions of the leadership, or the actions of other members. And so as we were continuing, we were discussing on what about the member who says, well, I've talked to the elders, I've talked to the leaders of my church, but I'm not being helped. What about that person? And so today we are going to be looking at the flip side of it to help answer that question. The flip side of it is leaders hurt. Now, that's just funny. It might be a new term, but leaders hurt is how leaders actually feel, how elders in the church can actually be hurt by members, and how that actually looks like, how we can be able to, in a strange way, shepherd our elders as they navigate the complexity of a church, as they navigate the complexity of sheep, because sheep are not necessarily the most clean animals. They are messy. And at the heart of it, each shepherd or elder in the church is also a sheep.
Yes.
So how does this work out? Newton, you're an elder.
I believe I am.
How do you think about elders hurt?
Well, let me start with this member who is saying, I've done all I could do, but I feel like I'm not being helped. You know, by saying that, the leaders are also saying, you know, I think I've helped this person, but the person feels like they haven't been helped. So again, is to understand that there is no elder, no pastor worth his salt who rejoices when a member says, I don't feel helped. And there may be times where indeed the elders maybe are not helping, but it may be also that maybe the help that the elders are giving it's not the exact help the member is actually looking for. But I guess it may be an encouragement also to members to understand that pastors, elders, well, most of them, they mean well.
Yeah.
They do mean well. But also, like we know, the best of men are men at best, right?
Yeah.
So they also need help. And one of the ways that members of the church can help the elders is to understand that every pastor wants to pastor members that are also taking ownership of the work.
That's very pivotal. And I think to add on to where I think you're driving at, Newton, is the reality that in as much as the church is led by elders, the church is also sustained by the obedience of the members.
Yes.
And I think that's very important to understand that, you know, throughout the New Testament, as Paul is writing pastoral letters, but also he writes congregational letters.
Yes.
Which is very interesting because he's putting a burden of obedience both on the pastors and also the members. Right? Like, look at Corinthians, you look at Romans, you look at Galatians, you look at Ephesians. You can mention all the books that Paul wrote. You would see that there's a pattern where he requires something of members equally the same way he also requires something of elders.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I wanted to read for us here, Romans 12. If we had time, we'll go through the whole chapter because it does talk a lot about the need for members to contribute to the needs of each other. But Romans chapter 12 from verse 3 says, For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. I'm just thinking about even the member thinks, no, I haven't been helped yet. Mm. Maybe the question to ask is there really a thing of the sober judgment? But Paul continues here, each according to the measure of faith that that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Mm. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Now you see there's a variety of gifts. Perhaps maybe the member of things are not being helped. Perhaps maybe they're presenting a need that maybe a specific elder is not most gifted to meet that need. Mm-hmm. Maybe it could be that. So maybe might be a need to refer them to somebody else. But the following verses now, like verse 9 says, let love be genuine. Mm. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Can you imagine having a church where everybody is holding fast to what is good? Mm. And it says, love one another with brotherly affection. Hmm. Outdo one another in showing honor. I like verse 11. Don't be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Mm. If we could have a church that everybody is actually outdoing one another and showing honor, there's that enthusiasm, there's that zeal for our service. Man, I tell you, this would be any pastor's dream church. And then verse 12 says, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Hmm. Be patient. I mean, we don't always sometimes see patience, but we see people are easily offended. And when people are offended easily, it also hurts the leadership. So, but again, it says we are to be constant in prayer. Can you imagine if this was true of any church, that members are constant in prayer? But verse 13 says, contribute to the needs of the saints. It doesn't say the elders or the pastor should contribute. I believe Paul is addressing the members.
Yeah.
Of the church at Rome. It says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. There's a difference to say seek to show hospitality and seek to be shown
hospitality. Wow, that's very important.
Yeah.
And I think at the heart of it is start to, when people look at this, you know, commands, you start to think of the congregational significance, to realize that, yeah, you'd expect these things from a pastor and you expect these things from an elder, but what puts you above that? Mm. You know, Paul is commanding these things to the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what is key in our day and age is with the comparative nature of Christianity, you start to look at your neighbor not obeying these commands and start to assume, well, I guess if they're not obeying them, I also cannot obey them.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is these are callings for the individual Christian in the congregation.
Yes.
As well as the congregation itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because what marks the life of a true Christian is not necessarily feeling warm about church service. Mm. It's obedience.
It is obedience.
And the reality of it is, you know, you have hurt pastors, not necessarily because they're members of the worst in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They are no good members. They are no good pastors. They are all saved sinners.
Yes.
And at the heart of it is, how are you growing in your obedience to this one anotherings?
Yes, exactly.
And that's the point of ownership.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the church, I think we've talked about church membership. And church membership is not a subscription. It's not necessarily subscribing to a golf club where you get a lot of benefits and privileges. Being part of a member of a church is being part of the body of Christ, but realizing that other members of that body have equal deformities like you have.
Yeah. Someone said, sheep bite.
Yeah. And one of my professors in seminary says, I have the marks to prove it.
So even an elder, I can say, I may also have some marks to prove it. But what do we do? I like verse 14. It says, bless those who persecute you.
Mm.
Bless and do not curse them. So I think even for leaders, they need to understand that there is a right response to sheep that bites, but also to the sheep. Sometimes the some elders sometimes can just be jokes. So, but even the members of the church, again, as you rightly said, even the shepherd is a sheep before he's anything else. So we are all sheep first and foremost. So verse 14 applies to all of us. We are to be a people who are in the business of blessing, not business of cursing.
And I think at the heart of it, for the member whose needs are not being met, there is a rubric to help them figure out. The question is, are their expectations biblically not being met or their feelings not being considered? And that's a pivotal part. Not to say feelings are not important. They are important.
They are important.
But the question is a biblical mandate for the pastor or the elder being met? Or are their feelings not being considered? Because there's a difference. You handle biblical matters as sin issues. You handle feelings at times as preference issues. And it is important for us to understand where our level of church hurt is coming from. Is it coming from a man who has disobeyed God's word and therefore have hurt you, or a man who has kept God's word but has been inconsiderate of your emotions? It is pivotal for us to understand that difference, to realize the emotional aspect is important, but the biblical aspect takes precedence before the emotional one.
And just to add on that, because of that, verse 16 says, live in harmony with one another. The 16 says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. So again, the member that is feeling hurt or the elder is feeling hurt, we need to ask ourselves, even though we are feeling like that, but are we making an effort? Are we pursuing this ideal that we can be able to live in harmony with one another? And verse 17 says, pay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Yeah, sometimes, as you mentioned, somebody may be maybe inconsiderate. The temptation for, say, an elder is maybe not to respond well to this person, and the person could be hurt. But also for a member, perhaps maybe the elder said something, not having them specific in mind, they could actually take it as if maybe they were targeted and then you still feel hurt. But the point is, how are you going to respond? Verse 70 says, repay no one evil for evil.
And I think at the level of, I think, a person who has been hurt is, you know, in light of what, you know, Paul is telling us in Romans chapter 12, is to start to understand that let the elder who is guilty of inaction be called to action. And let the elder who has action but not understood be viewed out of the clearest heart. It's very important because as a Christian, your perspective is not to assume the worst of those who are trying to help. But to realize that, you know, they're doing the best. And at the heart of it, the elder who feels frustrated that people in his church are not being helped is to realize conviction is a work of the Holy Spirit. In as much as we can, you know, we can speak people into a position of understanding, the position of conviction will only be done by the Holy Spirit. And even people who are hurt by the church to start to realize that ultimately all people in the church will not meet your needs. If the Holy Spirit is not truly working in your heart.
I mean, we need to understand we are not yet in heaven. So verse 18 makes sense. It says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Live peaceably with all. I think as a church, we should be still be striving to be at peace with all people. Not to say that we're gonna have the same exact kind of relationships with all people. It's just not humanly possible. Mm. But the question is, are we at peace with all people? So if somebody has been hurt, I think elders should also make it an effort to try to, where this is needed, to bring about reconciliation.
Mm. And I think it's important as well, because I think I was listening to Mark Dever speak about, you know, why members don't want to come to church.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he was able to remark is to say, as Christians, they have to be able to examine our hearts. Are we being weak or are we being wicked?
Mm.
And that's important, even as a person who's hurt. Then it might seem insensitive, but the question is, you know, often personally, when I am feeling hurt,
yes,
I first need to be comforted, but I also need to be confronted.
Yes.
Because out of that, that's where, you know, the passage is even saying, do not think highly of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the body, there are many members.
Yes.
And I think my temptation when I'm hurt is to consider me.
Mm-hmm.
My temptation is to be angry.
Yeah.
And that's why the passage, even in verses 19, is saying, do not avenge yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because anger often wants us to avenge ourselves.
Yeah.
And sometimes sorrow wants us to be pitiful of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Both are bad reactions.
Yes.
And the right reaction is, with a sober judgment, be able to address the hurt.
Yeah.
Be able to call people aside. And I guess that's what Titus is saying, for a man who brings division in the church,
mm-hmm,
or dissension in the church,
yeah,
is the man who is trying to always, you know, in front of the pulpit now saying, ah, pastor, hurt me. It's mm-hmm. like it's causing dissension in the church. But to be able to be wise, even in your hurt, to say, this is the area of hurt, I'm going to call this person aside.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 18. Mm-hmm. If it's a sin issue, I'm going to call this person aside,
yes,
and talk to them personally.
Mm. Wow. And I think that is what lacks in many churches, where there is no environment where people are speaking honestly to each other.
Mm.
Instead of speaking to each other, they may speak about each other, which I think it can lead to hurt, whether to the members or to the leadership. So I think there needs to be, we need to pray for the supernatural work of God to work in our churches, so that they can still be like that environment where people can speak truth in love to each other. Because if that is going on, then perhaps maybe we may not necessarily have avoidable hurts, you know, whether of members or leadership. So, yeah.
So as someone who is probably listening to this podcast and saying, oh, you guys are just defending elders, or you guys are not really understanding me.
Mm.
It's the reality that being misunderstood will be a plague in the church, because there's only one person who knows all things.
Sure.
And that is Christ.
Yes.
I think that's why we go back to the gospel again,
mm-hmm,
in chapter 3 of the book of Titus.
Yeah.
And this is what Paul is speaking to Titus, young Titus, and he's giving them instructions. And, you know, he's talking about how Titus used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so in Titus chapter 3, this is what Paul is saying. He says, remind them, meaning the members of the church, to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work.
Yeah.
And I think when we are hurt, the readiness to do good work sometimes goes out the window.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because you are not being served, you say, well, I'm not going to serve either.
Yeah.
But Paul is saying, remind them to be ready for good work.
Mm.
He continues to say, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show courtesy toward all people.
Wow.
Paul does not put a qualification to show courtesy to people who are serving you or nice to you. He says, all people in the church.
Wow.
And why does he say that? He says, because we ourselves were once foolish. We ourselves were disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another.
Hmm.
This is the gospel. This is what you used to be.
Yes.
But notice the most beautiful word as theologians, the conjunction. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of who? The Holy Spirit. Whom he poured out on us richly. Did he spare? No, richly, lavishly.
Wow.
Through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
Mm. Wow. I love those three words in verse 5.
Mm.
He saved us. The rest of the words are being pulled by those words. He saved us. Even the purpose of this podcast is to be able to connect the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyday life, right?
Pretty much.
And because we've been saved, we didn't save ourselves, we can be able to live differently.
Yes. The gospel changes what?
Everything.
And so coming back to that realization, even the person who is hurt, and this has to be our understanding, this is inexcusable from the scriptures. Church hurt does not mean disobedience.
Yes.
It categorically, whether you're hurt as an elder, hurt as a member, hurt as a church visitor because the ashes were not being nice.
Yes.
But the point of the matter is the Bible does not give you a pass on being obedient to these commands and expectations because you're hurt. If you're a pastor and the Bible says shepherd the flock of God with love, guess what? You shepherd the flock of God with love.
Yes.
As a member, if it says meet the needs of others and serve one another as members of one body, guess what? Still the expectation from scripture.
Yes.
Why? Because you can do it. Why? Because the gospel has changed every single thing.
Exactly. We are not what we used to be.
Yeah, we're not where we want to be. But thank God, we are not what we used to be.
Thanks to what Christ has done for us.
And I think one of the things we have to understand, even as we are, you know, thinking about this, is to realize that the conversation on church hurt might not be one conversation with the person who hurt you.
Yes.
It might be a process.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a continual conversation of looking at the gospel and reminding each other of the gospel constantly. But also, I think, meaningfully.
Yes. Members' lives matter. So do.
Pastors' lives matter. And I think it's important for us to be able to come alongside one another and realize that the Bible calls the Christian walk a race, not a sprint.
Yes.
It's a marathon that takes time with conversation and honest conversation. It takes humility on the part of both the elders and humility on the members' part. For one to admit their responsibility, for other to be open with their hurt.
Yeah. And also for both parties, just to assume the best of the other.
Mm. And to realize that, life on this side of heaven is not pretty. It's not rosy. It's not going to get any better.
Yeah.
I don't mean to sound like a pessimist, but the Bible doesn't promise life will get better as the 2021s come along.
No.
2020 has been bad.
Yeah.
But you know what? God has been good equally.
Yes. And do not change that.
He'll still sustain this Christian. He will still have control over the world.
Yes.
He'll still have control over hurt. And he'll still know how to fix it.
Yes. And Jesus still building his church.
Still building this church. If it were up to you and me, we probably would be like a foundation now. No? Foundation?
Less than foundation.
Less than foundation.
Yeah.
Probably still trying to figure out where the bricks are.
Yes.
But Jesus is building his church.
And the gates of Hades will not prevail. Members will not prevail. Pastors will not prevail.
Christ will.
Yes.
And so from us to you, grace and peace and
God bless.